for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Tuesday evening service of July the 2nd, 2002. Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dale Copeland of Bengal, Oklahoma, is the speaker of the evening.
There ain't too many people comes into the walls, but I'll tell you something. There ain't a day goes by that you don't find an opportunity. I don't know anybody that's sick that wouldn't like to be healed.
Right. Amen.
Anybody that's oppressed or depressed and being tormented that don't want to be set free. And for some reason or other, we bought the modern society feeling that church ought to be kept behind the walls. Jesus, everywhere he went. Now, if he'd kept his mouth shut, he'd stayed out of trouble. Right?
Yeah, right.
I tell you what, for years, I was just guilty. For years, boy, if they didn't want to hear it, I didn't want to say nothing. I was guilty. I mean, I'd just be quiet. I wasn't going to look like no fool. Boy, you know, I'd get in church and preach like a house fire, but don't, you know, shoot. When I got out, hey, just let the heathen be heathen. Somebody say, boy, I tell you what, my head's hurting. I wouldn't say a word. Start with, I didn't have enough confidence in God to lay hands on nobody anyway. My thought was, boy, what'll I look like if I pray for him it don't happen? You know what I've realized? Boy, getting people healed is fun. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it now. You know why? Because I don't feel a bit intimidated about anything, because I ain't never healed nobody.
That's right. That's right.
I ain't got nothing to do with it hardly.
That's right.
Jesus is the healer. He's the one that heals people. You see, but we want to be, we're going to have to be accountable of our stewardship. Like I said, God judges. Sooner or later, he lets us know. He's judged so many. So here's what we'll either be a steward and act like an owner and have the owner come home and let you know, not here you don't, you know. Or we'll humble ourselves. We'll be grateful that he has let us, gave us as stewards so much. Some of you who be listening to this tape, people will hear this tape that's not here, and some of you hearing the sound of my voice. God had more of your time when you had less. He had more of your energy when you wasn't quite as successful. More of your hospitality when you lived in the apartment instead of the nice house. When you drove that old jalopy, you know, you'd give somebody a ride, but now they might mess up your leather seats. Hey, I've heard people say, I wouldn't give them a ride. Well, there was a time they didn't have something so nice that they couldn't be nice. Let me finish with some scripture in Matthew 25. We'll start with verse 14. We won't need to read them all. I want to just summarize them. It's a quick, essential passage on the mentality of a steward. To summarize this, the master has shared his possessions with the steward. Now hear me closely. In verse 15 of Matthew 25, and he gave each one according to his own ability. Right? Let me tell you something. Get this. We need to get this. Never get upset because somebody else has been given more by God than you have. Now, let me tell you why. Because God's going to only hold you accountable for what he gave you.
Right.
I've heard people say, well, my goodness, you know, they got more money than I got, and I put more money in the offering. They don't even... Hey, God's going to hold them accountable for their stewardship. As pastor of a church, and when we've had three people, and when we have many more than that now, I've always given more than anyone else in the church. And I gave it many times. When we first started, it was about $40 a month. I'd take a $20 check, all that would be in there for the whole week, and I'd take it out and I'd put it in the offering. I was under the, and I still am, I, At one time, I thought it had become, I said, well, maybe I'm just deluded. Maybe I'm under delusion. I thought I could teach by example. And there wasn't nobody catching on. And our little old $40 a month, we would go without, and our family would go without the things that everybody else enjoyed. We didn't go without food. We never missed a meal. Our needs were supplied in that sense. But I know what it is. I said when your shorts wear out and you get holes in your underwear and you can't replace them. I know what that is. I know what it is when one of your kids asks for a bottle of pop and you got no money. And it wasn't something like, well, we'll have some more money next week. No, there was no promise of any more next week any better. I know what it is to wonder and ask your children and say, kids, sit down here. What do you think about Daddy? You think I'm just a lazy bum? Because I'm not giving you what everybody else has? My two children's grown will never know when they was about the age of the two we got here, the younger ones, what they did for me. They looked me in the eye and they said, we think you're a man of God and you're obeying God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
They'll never know what that did for me. I mean, it put a straightness in my back again because I was concerned. I didn't want my kids, because they was going without everything, like a lot of that other kids could have. They just took it as normal. I didn't want them to think that I was just lazy because I was down in the hills where there wasn't nobody at and 30 miles from a Walmart and living in a shack and things like that, that I wouldn't go out, because they knew what it was to live in luxury and then go into poverty. I know what it is to wrestle because we give more money and there's people sitting there that could have paid all the bills and never missed it, but they wouldn't do nothing. Brother Christian, I was told it's always a few in every assembly that supports it. The rest of them freeload. They ride. That's the truth, folks. That is the truth. And it's usually, I know in our own assembly, it's the people that can afford it the best that gives the least. But you know what? That's their business, because God has, listen, I'm a steward of what He's given me.
Right.
And I'm going to gladly answer to what He's given me. And they will have to be accountable to what He's given them and the increase that they had, the heart that they had, to bring increase to the kingdom of God, or did they hoard it for themselves? They'll have to give an account. I don't have to give an account for it. So, when the Lord gave me this revelation, hey, I was released from any bitterness or strife or anything. Listen, I'm just a steward unto God for me. I can't be accountable for anybody else. You know, if we spend more time using the stuff that God gave us in a right way, we wouldn't be having time to look at what somebody else is doing with theirs anyway. We'd be more grateful for what He's given us. We wouldn't be so upset with others for what they're doing or they're not doing. I've said in our church, if people give a lot of money in our church that's got a lot of money, they don't get, oh, well, boy, we're going to put their name up, tell everybody, my goodness, so-and-so gave $10,000. No, not in our church. This brother give a motor home one time. Another brother give several thousand dollars at a time. And I'm telling you something, if you got more, you ought to be giving more. That ain't no big deal. The Bible said you lay up in store as God has prospered you.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? It don't merit all kinds of praises because somebody's given according to the blessing, given increase to the kingdom of God according as God has blessed them. Right?
Right.
Boy, it's quiet in here. About to scare me. If somebody has more, then God requires more of them. Now, what does accountability mean? Verse 16. The one who had received five, he went out and traded them and got five more. Verse 17, the one who had received two got two more. But the one that got one, he put it in the ground, right? Now follow this. God expects you to take what He gives you and maximize it for Him.
Hallelujah.
That's the purpose we have been given wealth. That's the purpose we've been given time. The purpose we've been given, treasure. You ain't here. We wasn't born to make our lives comfortable. We were born for the glory of God. We forgot, and we become owners and quit being stewards. And I'll tell you something. God ain't going to keep a steward around, but just for a few years, that's trying to be an owner. But why wouldn't he keep... Who amongst you is going to... Let's say you hire somebody. We'll talk about time for a minute, being a steward of time. Who amongst you wants to hire somebody that don't care whether they're late or if they go home early? They just ignore time as if it's their own when they're on your clock. You know what you're going to do to that person? You're going to give them their pink slip and they're going down the road. Now, God's merciful, and He'll deal with, and He'll deal with, and He'll deal with. But you ain't going to hang around too many years if you ignore or are not a steward of time. If you don't maximize the time that God has given us, we all have, we don't never know, each one of us, we don't know, I don't know how much time you've got to lay hold of the things God has given us a chance to lay hold of. You see, here's the thing. He's made available some things, and we all have only a certain amount of time to lay hold of them things so that we might continue. You only have a certain amount, a window of time to put on immortality. Verse 17, I said the one, he put it in the ground. I want you to hear this. So God never expects you to be satisfied with what He gives you in the sense of not maximizing it. But He expects us to be content with what we have in the sense that wherever God has blessed us, be content until He blesses us more.
Right.
In other words, don't be fussing and griping and complaining and like, you know, like they did, murmuring with God in the wilderness. God don't want a bunch of murmuring people that's not happy. And let me quickly say this. God is not a one-armed bandit either. The prosperity message that's being taught across the land today is not biblical.
Amen. That's the truth. Amen.
You don't put in 50 cents and pull the deal and hope for $50.
Right.
People think that they can put 50 cents into God and, okay, and they can dictate what they're going to get back. If you could do that, you're God. You're the owner. Now, there ain't nothing wrong with prosperity. But an open heaven don't mean that God's going to make every one of you rich or filthy rich. An open heaven means that God's going to see to it that you get your portion that will maximize that your ability and able to maximize the most for His kingdom. See, God wants every one of us to prosper and be in health. Why? So we can shine, show out for Him, so to speak. Glorify Him. But that doesn't mean that He's just going to pour things in so you can just heap it on yourself. We should never be satisfied to just get by. The man that got two made four. Right? That's what we want with an investor. If we invest something, we want increase. I mean, my goodness, if we put in $100 and Wall Street looked up in 10 years and you still had 100, you're going to take that 100 and put it with somebody else. And that's exactly what's been happening for 2,000 years. We are steward after it's been happening for 6,000 years. Because Adam became an owner, he didn't hang around. And if we don't learn to be stewards, we ain't going to hang around. We're going to have to learn we are not owners. I know I'm keep saying, bringing this point home. But you know what? We have got to understand. God loves us and He has designed this thing. So He, if we'll do it, as I said this morning, if you'll manage His things by His instructions, we'll get His results. But if we try to manage what He's given us by our own initiative, we're going to malfunction. And God wants us to not malfunction. He wants us to prosper. He wants His kingdom to increase. That's the purpose of stewardship. God, the purpose He made man was that he might be seen in another world, in another dimension, another realm. And like I said, the church world can't hardly wait to get out of the realm God wants a man so he can be seen. I'm closing with this. He come to the one that hit it. The one that hit it gave him a lame excuse, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
In essence, he said it was too big a risk. I might have lost it. So I buried it. And you know what he done? He lost it.
Yes, he did.
He lost it. The very thing he was frightened of. See, a lot of people are afraid to give. Now, I'm not after no offering. You know what? I failed our assembly. For 16 years, I went without teaching on tithe. Put the offering box in the back. We ain't took up an offering, unless we had a visiting minister or something. In all these years. Because I was afraid of the subject of money. Somebody might think that I was after money.
Yeah, right.
You know. And I finally told him, I said, if y'all don't know me but 16 years, I've been through it when it's thinner and thin. And I didn't say a word. And I've been through it when it got better. And I know how to go make a living, and I'd be glad to do it if God released me. I'm not after nobody's money. You know what? Most preachers is not after nobody's money. They're after your heart for God.
Amen.
But your money is an indicator of your regard for God. It is an indicator. See, like I said, he said, return to me. They hadn't left church. Malachi, the book of Malachi is full of church. The priest was there. Man, the priest was preaching. But they had left God, but they are still in church. They had become owners. They give God leftovers. You know what people do? They'll spend all their energy, their time, and their money, come in with their tongue hanging out that night, open their Bible for 5 minutes. And you know what you did? You give God leftovers, and you wouldn't want leftovers at all. How many of you likes cold? The last thing, leftovers. Pull them out of the back of the back of the back of the icebox.
Already stink.
That's exactly what they was giving God. They said, you often defiled offerings on my altar. God's people still doing it today. If you're not careful, you might be guilty of it. I've seen people, they'll go to the lake and they'll play hard as they can play. And then they're so wore out, they'll sleep on Sunday, too tired and wore out from Saturday to hear the Word of God on Sunday.
That's true.
And they think, well, you ought to be grateful I'm just here. No, let me tell you something. They ought to be grateful God allowed them there. See, a lot of people think, oh, it'd be wonderful if rich people come to the church. No, what people don't understand is rich people ought to be thankful that God let them in. You know why? Because he said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to get in. Listen, if I know what it is to make a lot of money. I know what it is to have quite a bit of money and several thousand dollars in the bank and things like that. I've been there. But the thing is I know what happened. The rich answereth roughly. You know what? In other words, what they do, if we're not careful, you get to thinking, there's a perspective of stewardship that I ain't taught about, but you get to counting on your what you've got.
That's right.
You get to leaning on it. People say, oh, well, I don't. Well, what if God told you to... See, the Lord told me to one time, man, I emptied my bank account out. He said, give it. I emptied it. And I mean savings. Everything we had. You find out real quick what you're leaning on. I thought, well, my God, this is what we're going to, we're going to need this. I know people, I've watched it. Because they withheld from God, because they robbed God, because they didn't have a heart towards God, they didn't have high regard towards God. I'm telling you something, you, like I said, you don't never rob God. Will a man rob God? Not and get away with it. Will a little old man God created... God's asking that question. Will he rob me? I ain't going to allow it. God won't allow it, see? He says, it'll burn down, blow away, rot, rust. Something will happen to it. I've watched people in our assembly because they withheld what belonged to God. They lost much more than they withheld. I've watched it. We're talking about accountability here, of stewardship. Everybody's hearing me. It's somebody. And you've been given something. It may not be 5 talents. It might not be 2 talents. It might be one, but God expects you to do something with that. He expects you to maximize for His kingdom, whether it be money, whether it be treasure, whether it be time, or whether it be gifts or talents that you have. God expects you to use it for His glory, for His kingdom. He said in New American Standard 25, verse 24, He said, the one also who had received the one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. But his master said to him, you wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. What's God saying here? He's saying, you knew I wasn't playing games. You ought to take me seriously. See, life is not a plaything. You know, God's entrusted things into our care, hadn't He? He's entrusted things. Listen, the revelations you get is a treasure.
Right.
My family is a treasure.
Yeah.
See, I have many treasures that's much greater than any money. Anytime friendships parts over money, money's God.
Right.
My friends is much greater. We've been in business for several years. One of Brother Bill's nieces. They ain't no trouble and they ain't going to be. Because I've told my wife, I said, we'll give them the whole thing. I said, there will never be no trouble. We'll walk off and give them it all. I love God and I love souls more than I love natural treasure. I'm telling you something. God has entrusted things into our care. We're not to play with it. The principle in verse 29 is this. For everyone who has, more shall be given. That's after there's been an accounting. You understand? That's after he's come and found that they've doubled. They've brought increase. Everyone that has. I thought, Lord, why would you take the one from the one and give it to the person that had 10? And the Lord said, this ain't about them. This is about my increase. You see what I'm saying? You see, he took the one that buried the one talent, he took it away from him, and he gave it to the one that had brought in the most increase. And that's what you would do if you was investing. If you had somebody that hadn't made you no money on the money you gave them, and you had somebody else that made you a whole lot of money, you're going to take that money from that one and give it to that one because you're after increase. Well, this is Jesus talking here. You think God ain't after increase? We're stewards. We are not owners. And we live for His increase. And we're accountable for our stewardship here. God said it like this. He said, you brought it home in Haggai 1 and 9, and I blew on it. How much more time have I got on this tape?
That's a great big tape.
That's an everlasting tape, isn't it?
Amen.
I think it'll outlast me, Brother Glenn. If we prove I'm trustworthy, God says He'll take it away. Listen, here's the key. It might not just be resources you lose. You might just not have any joy. You see? That nice house you live in might be the most miserable place in the world. I know people that says, oh, if I could just have that, I'd be happy. And you know what? The person that has it is very unhappy. See, that home or that house is not a home. I've seen people that was blessed, and God blessed them. They got the better job. They got a nicer house. They got a new car. That now they got a Mercedes or something. Now they don't want to drive the Mercedes to their new house because he blew on it, and now their house is not a home. They can't stand their wife, or they don't like to come home. You see what I'm saying? I mean, people can prosper without God. People can do some things, finance, they can get money without God. But you can't be under an open heaven without God. See, the open heaven is a lot more than just the money.
Right.
It's the money with no sorrow. I'm about done here. He that hath and does something with what he has, God will multiply in different ways with different folks, won't he? If we don't become good stewards, and if we insist on being an owner, we'll eventually lose our stewardship.
That's what will happen. Like I say, why would God keep somebody around that's not going to bring him increase? God is after increase. He is after increase in our life. He's after increase. He wants us to maximize our time, our talents, and our treasures for His kingdom. That doesn't mean you don't go to work. That means you know why you're working. You know, I learned something. I worked to make a living so I could have life and have health and have strength and bless my family so we could be a greater blessing in the kingdom of God. See, a lot of people don't know what money's for. So what's a steward? I'm going to quickly... He recognizes that God owns everything and he owns nothing. His attitude is he is grateful. He finds out what God says to do with what he has. A steward better find out what God wants him to do with what he has. A lot of people hoards. They just hoard it. And what they're going to do is they're going to lose their stewardship and they're going to leave it to somebody. They don't even know how they'll spend it. And what they're going to do is they're going to lose their stewardship and they're going to leave it to somebody. They don't even know how they'll spend it. A steward. You don't let Satan trick him into being discontent with being a steward. Most people have not had close enough relationship with God to be able to trust God in stewardship. They almost feel like they have to be an owner because of the experiences that they've had. And a steward is willing to maximize his potential unto God. Praise the Lord. I hope you've received something. Hope you've been blessed. I feel like I've shotgunned it because I've skipped a lot of things. But because of time, it's important that I do. But there's a perspective of stewardship. I'm telling you something. My goodness, how we see stewardship, how we look at it, how we understand it. I told my wife I was... This may not be on tape. I don't know, but... I told my wife the other day I was driving home, and I said, I need God to talk to me about this. I've been teaching on stewardship for a couple months in the assembly, and I said, I need the Lord to speak to me something here. There's something is not all together getting put together. God, I need God to speak to my heart. Well, why? I don't know. Why does God choose to speak to you at 3 o'clock in the morning? I don't know. But He woke me up. I am so sleepy. I'm wore out. Got to bed late. Out of a sound sleep, and the Lord is speaking to me. And I'm laying there, and I'm thinking about waking my wife up. Because I've done it before. I'll wake her up and say, honey, help me remember this in the morning. So in the morning, I say, honey, what was it that I told you to help me remember? And she said, did you tell me something? You know, she didn't even remember me waking her up. You know, so... And I've tried it like this before. I've tried repeating it real fast. Repeat it. I'll surely remember it. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you asked me to talk to you. Now, you going to get up and go write it down or not? So I got up. I didn't want to turn the lights on bright because I didn't want to be woke up, you know. The bathroom light was on. It shined in my office a little bit. And I go in there and I find me a pencil and I go into the printer and pull out a piece of paper and I'm writing. I can't even see where I'm writing. I'm just writing. And I wrote about a half a page. I said, Lord, thank you for this, you know. I won't go back to sleep. I go in there, I lay down, and I go right back to sleep. 10 minutes later, the Lord woke me up, and He's telling me something else. I think, oh, surely with what He had done give me, I've got that wrote down, I can remember this. The Lord said, you want me to talk to you? Okay, Lord. I start writing. 3 times. Wow. Like I said, I don't know why the Lord can't talk to me in the middle of the day. but anyway, I want to share just a little bit of what God spoke to my heart concerning stewardship. I've been teaching on the theft of stewardship at home.
Will a man rob God? Like I said, that's not sufficient. Really, it's like this. Will a man rob God? Will a man? God's asking this. Will a man rob God? Who does he think he is? Who does man think he is? You see? And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, and here's what I wrote down. Now, I didn't write it down word for word. I was so sleepy. But shall a man rob God when we fail to do what God expects? Listen, the expectation was the tithe. That's the expectation of God. Under the law, it was a requirement. Before the law, it was an expectation. After the law, it was an expectation. In other words, it belongs to God. But under the law, they just come and got it. See? But when we fail to do what God expects us to do, we rob God of the glory that He would get from our obedience of the blessings that He would give afterward. After the obedience. Do you realize if every one of us in here today was sitting under an open heaven, what kind of glory God would be getting? My, I mean, that's just unbelievable, isn't it? To think, what kind of glory? Because if you was under an open heaven, there'd be no problems in your family that you wouldn't be having dealt with. You'd be speaking some words of power and of authority. You'd be interceding. You'd be using the sword of the Spirit with power. Most people don't even, at camp, when we was at camp, I brought two big swords. You remember, was you there, Bill? With them big long swords. Now David was an excellent swordsman. Glory! And he said, people draw nigh to me with their lips, but their heart's far from me. And here's the last principle that I want to bring us, and I'll quit. You say, well, Jesus is our access, not our giving. The Bible said, Jesus, it might not have been Jesus, I think it was Jesus that said it. If you're not faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will give to you true riches? Well, the answer to that is nobody. The answer is not God. If we are not faithful in the physical side that He wants to manifest His glory in, who's going to give us true riches? Sounds to me like if you're not faithful in the unrighteous, access has been cut off. It's a whole lot more than, like I say, it has totally revolutionized. My wife, she told me the other day, said she was so happy. she said, I wrote the check. I didn't even know how much we had come in. She said, I just wrote a check because I just wanted to love God. Bigger than we've ever wrote. Just wrote a check. Said, I didn't even know what we'd got. I just wanted to express, God, this is what I think of you. And I said, go, girl. That's what it's all about.
Amen.
Go, girl.
Amen.
Man, get with it. I want that heart to be in my wife.
Yes, sir.
Man, then you got a partner.
Amen.
Glory.
You know, somebody instead saying, well, you can give that much to God for offering or this or that? No, man. Because of Him I live and move and have my being. Because of Him I'm breathing. Because of Him I've got children that I love. Because of Him I've got strength. And my goodness, have you seen people spend all of their... That's what the woman done had the issue of blood. She'd spend all of her wealth, hadn't it? To try to get well. I've seen people save it all their life and spend it to try to stay alive. When if they'd just been a good steward, when they'd just been a good steward of God and been under an open heaven. You know what? It's impossible to be sick under an open heaven.
That's right.
Impossible to be broke under an open heaven. I mean, you might not have any money, but you ain't broke. See, Jesus didn't have any money at the time, but He knew how to get it, didn't He?
He didn't have to carry it around. Praise the Lord. I know.
This is 6 o'clock in the morning with Dr. Noel.
As we dismiss, I want to give you an opportunity. If the Lord has touched your heart, I want to tell you something. I have spent hours in my office weeping and crying in repentance for my attitude as a steward. And I've asked God's forgiveness, and I know my wife has. As God has spoke to our hearts, and He has changed our hearts, I'm not blowing smoke at people. I'm talking from something that's changed my heart. It's changed my life. And you know what? It's going to change my children and my grandchildren. And if you would like an opportunity, if you would like to just bow your head and ask God's forgiveness for not being the kind of steward that you know He would have us to be. I thought I was being a good steward. But I didn't realize some things. I didn't know the truth about some things. And when He touched my heart, I repented. When God speaks to me, I'll repent. And what I mean by repent is I'll do it different from henceforth. It won't be something that just moves me and I rock back in the rut. You know, when repentance, so many people, they want forgiveness and not repentance. They don't want deliverance, they want forgiveness. I want to be delivered out of something. That way I won't always have to have forgiveness for it. You see? But if you would like to do that, I want to give you that opportunity. Let's just pray together. Father.
Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord.
God, you want a people that is hot after you. You want a people who knows that you are Creator. And that we depend in every way upon you. Father, I ask you to forgive us. I ask for your forgiveness, Lord, for the lack of being the kind of steward that you would have us to be. I ask your forgiveness for trying to be an owner. Because God, you created us to be a steward of your things, of what you've created. You told us to rule, to manage, but you didn't ever intend for us to take it for our own and forget that you're God. I ask you, Father, to forgive. I repent. I change. I turn in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, by your grace, by your divine influence upon our hearts, we shall walk a different direction. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this service. God, we thank you for an ear to hear, a heart that is hungry. Thank you for the privilege and the liberty, Lord, to speak. And Lord, we thank you for the invitation you've given us to come into your presence, but to come to the throne room boldly, and it's your throne room. We are thankful. We are thankful, God. We just want to say thanks. Thanks, Lord, for the good things that you've done. Thanks, Lord, that you're our God. Thanks, Lord, for the health. I speak health. In Jesus' name, it's your will that people be healed. God, by your stripes, we are healed. It's your will that we be in health. We say thanks, Lord, for what you've made available to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. And LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.